This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, man, it's a victory reaction Monday. 23-20 was the score for your Texans in over the Colts. At NRG Stadium. It was good to be back home after a couple of weeks on the road. Good to see the smiling faces of Texas fans. Good to see a game where the visitors did not really descend upon NRG as well.
That too. Yeah, because it's been an ongoing theme for a while.
Yeah, I made note of it to you during the game or before the game where I was like, hey, it doesn't feel like there's that many Colts fans here. And that was a nice thing, is just to see that a game is largely Texans fans there to celebrate. And
did they get there early?
No.
Let's be honest. We can move on. We ain't got to talk about it.
People were real excited, real hype for the Andre Johnson ring ceremony.
We can move on.
Real excited for that. I don't have nothing to say about
it. It is what it is.
Has been.
Maybe not the early turnout did not hoop in some ways, but let's talk about who hooped on this in this victory that, look, should not have been nearly as close as it was. There's a lot of things, but this is not the time for the nitpick. The nitpick is coming up at 1 p.m. here in Lou. Right now, let's be happy about this. So let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610, who you believe hooped. And I would like to start with this gentleman on the defense, because the defense really did what they needed to do. And it feels like every week there's one dude who's everywhere. This week, Eric Murray was the man who was everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere.
Two passes defensed on the first drive, I believe.
Correct.
And three passes defensed altogether. Made some big plays. I think he was out of sorts on one play, but that's going to happen. You know, he got pushed out of the play, you know, sort of a pick play or whatever. But he absolutely, and this goes back to, you know, the whole culture thing I was talking about. You're worried about who's going to step up, you know, when safeties are out and all this other stuff. Didn't miss a beat. I still think that their safeties could use some help. But, man, that was you couldn't come up with better timing for him. I'm going to say this one, and I think we're traipsing into territory of taking them for granted, which is a great thing when you can take them for granted. I'm going to combine Will Anderson and Danielle
Hunter.
Let's
do it.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
You've got the bookends that you hope to get, and they are starting to ramp up, you know, getting home. 16 pressures combined, 3 sacks combined,
that's
12 hurries combined. You know, isn't it good? Like, we're like, oh, hey, they had 3 sacks. No, man. Like, we're almost taking them for granted.
That was the thing. Yeah. This was going to be the next thing for me, so I'm glad you stepped right in and mentioned it. Man, I told you, during the course of this game, I turned to Brandon Scott, and I'm like, best unit on the team by far is this defensive line. Obviously, largely because Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter get after quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that I had already in this game, coming into this, we had that conversation. I was like, I think I am letting go of the expectation that they need to hit the quarterback. Just keep him corralled.
Yeah.
But they applied pressure. They hit the quarterback. And they got physical on him. Now, of course, it's another thing now where you need to bring him down, because that is a tough you-know-what to do that with. But, like, they got it back there and they hit him. Now, they did allow him to escape a little bit more than I cared to
but 12 hurries.
Cared to see, but a lot of hurries made it a tough on him. And there was a couple instances where it was very evident that them touching him made him not throw the ball, or throw the ball even worse than he typically would, because he had some really bad throws, Anthony Richardson. But yeah, no, this defensive line continues to be that level of good, and there's stats to back it up, right? And this is per Will Kunkel of Fox 26. No quarterback has thrown for more than 175 yards in Houston this season. Caleb Williams had 174. Trevor Lawrence had 169. 131 for Josh Allen, and 175 for Anthony Richardson. And a lot of that, big plays, big pass plays. 10 for 32, Anthony Richardson. And a lot of that, again, some really good pass breakups, mm-hmm. and plays on the back end, but a lot of that is up front.
You've got your bookends. And at one point I turned to you, I think it was a Will Anderson's first sack. I said, you know, think about Anthony Richardson. He is so big, so fast, so strong, but so was Will Anderson. Like, Will Anderson chased him down from behind, and just, it wasn't even close. I mean, just wrapped him up, just took him down.
I mean, again, I highlighted it earlier. I mm-hmm. mentioned it earlier, the idea that you can go into these late situations, less than 2 minutes. It's only a 3-point lead, and mm-hmm. in theory, a team only has to go, what, about 40 yards, get themselves in field goal position, and that is real treacherous territory. That defense is on the field, and you don't feel a level of impending doom Mm-mm. or dread. You're like, Mm-mm. nah, they can handle this. And they did. Twice.
Yeah.
Twice, because you went offensively, and okay, and this is not the nitpick time, but you went offensively, and basically we're just like, we're going to try and take those timeouts and give you the ball back.
Yeah.
That's all you did on that drive, and it did not matter, because you give the ball back, you're like, the defense, once again, will stand on their head. And what do?
They did.
Stand on their head.
They absolutely
salute
did.
To those fellas on the front line of that defense. And I guess salute to the fellas on the back line of the defense. I talked about Eric Murray. Mm-hmm. Also, Kamari Lassiter, thanks for coming back, dog.
Oh, that was going to be another one of mine.
We missed you quite a bit, buddy.
I, you know, from training camp, I'm like, the ball skills. This guy just knows how to get to the ball. Boy, did he. Because he was actually beat on one and still broke up the play. It was an underthrow, mm-hmm. but he still broke it up. Kamari Lassiter with three, you know, passes defensed, and just finds a way to break things up. He was fantastic. And Derek Stingley had one, wasn't really thrown at as much, which would be understandable.
Yeah.
But Lassiter stepped
up. There was one throw, the AD mm-hmm. Mitchell there, that was close.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I think honestly, on that play, Stingley might have gotten like the slight, like a fingernail mm-hmm. on the ball, but it still landed in AD Mitchell's hands. Thankfully, he just didn't get both feet down.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thankfully, you got a lot of hooping on that defense. Would you like to? Is there anybody else defensively that you want to salute, at least in the hoop category, before we get into like an honorable mention version of the hooped?
I like I said, Lassiter and the defensive ends were it for me, big time. Oh, and of course, you know, for all the ups and downs of Jalen Petrie, huge play,
yes,
enormous play,
yeah, man,
yeah.
I mean, he's the coverage is especially when he gets to cover in zone, mm-hmm. like when he gets to cover in a way where he's looking back at the quarterback as he covers. He you know, faints a little bit and kind of baits Anthony Richardson in throwing a pass, and he goes and gets it. That's the second week that we've seen him do, or we've seen guys on this defense do that exact same thing.
Yeah.
When he gets to play downhill, he is so fun to watch play football.
He's in the right spot.
And even in just like more man coverage, mm-hmm. he played pretty well. Now there was that one kind of screen play down the field where he gets picked off, and you know that goes for
the big Josh Downs play.
You know, touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I blame him for that situation. He seemed to be...
He got knocked down.
About a half step off of that wide receiver, which, look, I always feel for cornerbacks mm-hmm. when they have to cover a wide receiver all the way across the field. That's one of the most impossible things to do, right?
Yeah.
So staying about a half step on it was about what you could ask for, and then he gets screened off. That's tough. I don't know how much I can knock him for that.
Yeah.
But, like, Jalen Petrie has played really well, especially when he gets to play to his strengths, going and hitting the quarterback, you know, coming downhill, making tackles. He made an incredible tackle on Jonathan Taylor in
that
open
space.
Yes. Like, he deserves a lot of credit in this game.
To be called a hooper in this one. No doubt. Offensively, I mean, well, let's not bury the lead. I mean, Joe Mixon is just a ridiculous. He's just ridiculous.
You can build the entire offense out of Joe Mixon.
He's the MVP of the offense right now.
Without question.
Right?
Without question.
I mean, CJ Stroud does his thing, but I don't know where they are without Joe Mixon doing what he's doing.
Right, and it seems like they're doing better at like involving him a little bit in the pass game as well, and maybe that's just like reactionary. Maybe that's a little too close to this particular game as opposed to the others. But this dude is incredible. Block it up or not, and if you block it up, I'll give you even more. Like he plays, and if he starts and finishes a game, it's 100 yards counted.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something to be scoffed at by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and he absolutely, with Arian Foster in the building, he's not built like Arian Foster. Normally doesn't have the style of running that Arian Foster had, but on that touchdown run with the high step and the spin. And the way he hit that hole kind of looked like Arian Foster on the big touchdown run that tied it at 10.
Yeah.
Even though his body type is different.
It's so strong.
Kind of looked like that. Another one for me, boy, this was a relief. Just an absolute, like when Stephon Diggs went down, I'm like, everybody was. But
correct.
I'm like, where's it going to come from? Tank Dell, it's like they flipped a switch. Like all of a sudden, okay, I'll start playing, you know, and stepping into that role. I thought Tank Dell really, really stepped up at a perfect time.
He played pretty damn well. I also would like to give some love to Dalton Schultz in this, because on National Tight End Day, it felt like there was a real connection with him and CJ. And I don't know exactly how to quantify or qualify it, because, I mean, it was a four-catch, 52-yard day. Like, I don't know how, and maybe my brain has just been skewed from seeing Nico Collins constantly put up, like, 135,000 yards a game, right? but it feels like Dalton Schultz at 52 was like, okay, it's solid, but on the field, it felt different. It felt like, you know, the warm comfort blanket that is a tight end for a quarterback was reestablished in a way for CJ. And that felt like it meant something in the course of this game. So shout out to Dalton Schultz finding that space again, where on a big national tight end holiday, he delivered in a way that it felt like he was kind of sliding away from.
Yeah, and that ties in with another one, which I think some people might argue with this, that he hooped. I think he did, and that would be Bobby Slowick. Hold on. Not everything.
What game was you watching?
Yeah, well, this one. But
here goes Lopez.
Let me explain it. His approach to start the game was exactly what this team needed. I'm not saying he had a great game overall, but Joe Mixon
down the pipe.
Two pass attempts to him right out of the chute. You mentioned Dalton Schultz. We needed Dalton Schultz. They got Dalton Schultz. Cade Stover had a couple of catches. And then what was the big issue? You had in recent game, I forget which one, might have been the last one, where you had like one receiver basically with catches. You had five receivers with catches in this game. So I'm not saying that, look, give him the game ball. What I'm saying is his approach changed. Everything was on the table, and I think part of what was on the table is we got to start spreading this thing around. We got to start looking at the middle of the field, tight ends, backs out of the backfield, and they did that.
Also, they did some really fun split zone blocking stuff. And I mean, they've used some of it, but I think that he might have found a better situation running wise for the blocking scheme. It felt like, again, there were pockets where they blocked up really well. Now, of course, there were other pockets where it was really, really bad, especially like pass protection wise still. But I think that you found a little bit of something interesting there. Blocking wise, and it felt like there was more instances where they actually spread these things out. I think that I don't want to give us too much credit ourselves, but whether it was us or whether it was just like people talking about it or even just self scout, because obviously there's plenty of people in that building capable of diagnosing football, right? I think that they looked at it and they took a good look and they realized, okay, these condensed formations might not be helping us nearly as much.
That's what I'm saying.
Spread it out a little bit more. So there was some adjustment.
He had a different approach. Not all was successful for four quarters, we know that, but five different receivers, two different tight ends, Joe Mixon out of the backfield, and the different formations and such. It was absolutely an adjustment he made that ultimately worked.
Some honorable mentions here. I want to make sure we've already talked about it a little bit. Salute Patterson, who comes in and immediately the run game offensively looks
like
the
best drive of the game.
Absolutely, 100%. That drive was the best drive of the game because Patterson comes in at left guard, gave me a little bit of hope that this offensive line, once they get to that place, is going to be in a much better place. Now, of course, how much of that is the teams have not seen Jarrett Patterson in order to really attack him in a big way or expected, maybe did not expect him to be there. But you saw Gus Bradley get to a point where he identified number 76 as the mark. They're putting overloads over there. They're hitting him with stunts because they know he's not going to hold up. For that one drive where they go down and they score, that was not the case on Jarrett Patterson's side. Salute, man.
And maybe not in the category of absolutely hooped, but in the context of where he's been all year, got to give it to John Mechie. I gave up on the John Mechie game.
That's right.
I gave up. I was
you jumping back on?
No, I'm not jumping back on necessarily, but three big catches, one really big catch.
Hear that? Yeah. He's not on, but he's not on. Okay. He's hanging off the back.
I can see it from here, but I'm not necessarily hopping on. That was a big play he made, and three catches, 29 yards for John Mechie. Stepping in when they needed a receiver.
Yeah, I thought that I was really happy for the most part with most of these guys when they stepped in. Robert Woods came in and looked like he gave what exactly you expect. What does the game look like with all these guys when that is the game plan going in? I still feel good. Like, I understand I would much rather have Stephon Diggs out there, but depending on what we hear from the MRI that it seems like he is getting today, right? Depending on what we hear, I'm still good with this wide receiving core as is. I know some people are like, go get Adam Thielen on a Panthers team that is woeful and is not going anywhere.
No.
I don't know that I appreciate that better. I don't know that I like Adam Thielen better than what Robert Woods or what John sure. Mechie gives you. That's the depth that you have, and I think that's the reason why you have it.
And one more, even though he didn't carry the ball but once, how about old Damian Pierce on those returns? You know,
that's a great point.
Had a 45-yarder, had another decent return. You got to give it to Damian Pierce, and maybe that's his role ultimately. You know, that's what he did well last year. It's what he's doing well. He did well yesterday. Got to give it to Damian Pierce.
But flipping the field matters in such a big way. Like those, that big return is super useful. And, I mean, shout out to the dynamic return in general. We got a little bit more juice out of
Colts
it.
Colts had one
in this game. Now, of course, again, you didn't want it to be that way, right? You don't want the Colts to be able to do all that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the dynamic return might be ticking up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that make you
across the league? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make you hopeful at all?
Yeah. I mean, I've had high expectations for it, but we'll see.
All right.
Trending nicely.
Anybody else? Figgy, is there anybody that you saw in the course of this game that you're like, hey, man, these boys not giving the credit?
Nah, I think y'all gave everybody the credit, man.
Some love on the 5 Hour Energy fan line for 713 for Hutchinson. Seems like he has a big catch consistently. Okay. And that's going to be useful as they continue to go forward. 832, I liked what I saw out of Cade Stover. Stover had a play where he put his hand in the dirt where it should have been like a 2-yard play, and he turned into like a 14-yard play.
Yeah.
So shout out to Cade Stover getting involved there. Mm-hmm. Toriano and Stover felt like they were in quite a bit with some of those 12 personnel looks to probably run block more than anything.
That's that approach that changed.
Yeah, definitely did. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Texans Victory Monday, Reaction Monday. Brought to you by Shoppers John Deere. Coming up next, it's about that time for us to get some lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next. Right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, you want the football one first or the one that kind of proves that I'm a horrible person?
Let's start with the football one first.
Okay.
Because I plan on spending a lot of time talking about the other one.
About me being a horrible
That's
person?
That's correct.
All right. I honestly don't. Okay, the Commanders, you know, Hail Mary is all over the news, was all over the news
Your
yesterday.
Your favorite football team.
It was the Commanders?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
You love you some Jaden Daniels.
I do love Jaden Daniels, and it was a hell of a play by him. I honestly, like, Tyrique Stevenson is getting destroyed for just, you know, turning to the crowd, having his back to the play, getting, you know, sort of snapping into the play, getting over there, tipping the ball up, and the Commanders ultimately win the game on that play.
But also, I didn't get a chance to watch that game, clearly. 18-15 mm-hmm. sounds like a relatively miserable score.
That's not a, what do you call it, a scoregami?
That's a great point. I did not do my due diligence
I don't know if that's a scoregami or not. It might not be. Anyway,
I'm looking it up.
Here's my confession. I don't know if that play would have been any different if Stevenson had just continued to mock the crowd. Like, that play was, it's hard to say, perfectly executed, Hail Mary. But as Hail Marys go, that's what you want to happen. A group of players in front, offensive and defensive. The ball pops up, and another receiver, in this case, former Texan Noah Brown, catches a touchdown. There were hands going up exactly where Stevenson's hand was. I'm not sure it would have been any different. He's just getting destroyed because of how he did before the play.
Yeah, but that's a reminder that
it is.
Appearances matter in this.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. Like, him mocking the crowd and losing the game.
But
like,
I don't
that.
Know if the play would have been any different.
Yeah, I don't even think it's about him actually patting the ball down.
It's what he did.
Yeah, I think because if he, let's say he did knock the ball down or the ball get knocked down, he going to look like a legend.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I got to go over here and knock the ball down, then I'll be right back and mock you some more.
Yeah, y'all about to lose. Like, hey, hold on. I'll get back to y'all.
Right, exactly. No, I got to do something real quick. Let me come back.
Yeah. That would have been legendary.
Yeah.
It really truly would have.
Yeah, but if it don't work out like that, you're gonna
get mocked.
Yeah, you need it. You should get roasted. Yeah.
How many times in life does, you know, the way that we view something entirely depend on just, did it work?
The ultimate outcome, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So we just did Who Hooped, mm-hmm. and I'd like to pretend that I did this intentionally, but I did forget. But I have to confess, I owe Devin White an apology.
Yeah.
Because y'all heard me on Friday and last week when Devin White was signed to these Texas team. I was like, man, I don't know, man. Like, I just, we saw him be really good in Tampa. I know that he's got a lot of athleticism, but he hadn't been good, like, you know, playing the run necessarily. And then he goes to Philadelphia, don't get no snaps, gets, you know, kicked out of there. Although I know that there's a claim that there's some politics involved there.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I just don't know. I don't think that they'll utilize him that much. He played 50% of the defensive snaps.
He sure
played
did.
Half of the defensive snaps, and he played with some gusto.
Yeah, he did.
Right? He got downhill. He, you know, and he applied some pressure. He made some tackles. Like, hey, man, my bad, Devin White. I'm sorry for trying to put you out of the league at the age of 26.
Damn near had a sack, too.
That's on me. Yeah, he sure did.
That's on me, too, because I should have brought him up in Who Hooped as well.
So I apologize, Devin White. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I'm alive, man.
Yeah!
I'm alive.
Yeah!
Didn't think I was going to be here, man.
I still had a little doubt, so I feel bad about that.
No, you don't.
Not real bad. I said a little bad.
Nah, so I was out last week. Ashley had food poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is my confession right okay. here, man. I don't know if I'm kind of looking at my wife a little funny, man, because mm-hmm. she actually cooked. So,
does she not cook often?
No, she cook all the time.
Yeah,
she's a great cook.
Yeah.
But now I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, do
You're
I
doubting need, it.
I'm gonna be looking over her shoulder now. Like, is that cooked all the way? I'm like, did you wash your hands?
Show me cutting board.
I'm like, let's make sure this sanitized.
Was that seafood on that cutting board before you made it?
Hold on, real quick. Let me go get my meat thermometer.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm a little nervous now, man.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous now. She haven't cooked anything since.
Yeah.
And honestly, I haven't really ate since.
Do you know what's weird about that, Figgy? Like, if you got it at a restaurant, that's an easy fix.
Yeah.
You know, mentally, you just can't. Like, I know Chipotle is a good place. Chipotle. I know it's a good place.
Chipotle.
That's right.
I'm just not in a place, and it's been over a year now, probably a year and a half. I got bad food poisoning at Chipotle, and I just can't go back. You can't do that with her.
Yeah, I know.
You can't.
I know. Yeah, that's the tough part, man.
I ain't going back to your meals.
And this is the even crazier part. She didn't get sick.
Yeah.
I'm the only one got sick. So she didn't want to go to her food.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, maybe it's something else you had or... And I ended up going to urgent care, and it was like, you could get it. It's possible you could have got it, and she didn't. Maybe it was in the portion you had and all that stuff.
Man, that's a tough. You're in a tough spot.
Mentally, I'm just like, man. Yeah.
It's about to be a lot of date nights coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't worry about cooking, baby.
Or I'm going to have to, I was telling somebody, I'm going to have to point somewhere else. Like, look over there.
Swap the plates right quick.
Wrap it in your napkin.
Or go. I'm going to take the trash out, run over to Burger King real quick to get something. Like, I'm going to have to figure some stuff out.
Dude, I want updates periodically because you are in a bad spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel bad for
mentally.
She's a really good cook, man.
Yeah.
And I think this wasn't her. I don't think this was her fault.
No, something happened.
Like, yeah, but mentally, I'm just like, man, I don't want you to cook. Right.
I think that highlights how easy it can be for, you know, just one time to get sick, which is why I always have a little bit of judgment. I mean, mm-hmm. a little bit of judgment for the people that are like, I got food poisoning one time from this one restaurant, so I'm never going back. I'm like, that doesn't mean they nasty. It just means that
like I just said, I know Chipotle is good.
Yeah,
and I know eventually I'll go back. I'm just not, every time.
You're not ready.
Every time I go by, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, like I'm low-key thinking about becoming a vegan at this point. Like, I don't even want none of that, man.
Oh, then the beans gonna get you.
Give me these sauteed crackers.
Saltine crackers.
I eat this for the rest of my life.
Oh, man. Watch this. These are my confessions. All right, so I got to give a little bit of a backstory here. I teased it on Friday. I said to be here at this point on Monday. So the confession is, it actually is, I think it's kind of backfiring on me.
Of course it is.
But
who could have foreseen such things?
Just so y'all know, I am not a prank type of person. In fact, most pranks to me are kind of silly and mean. That being said, so we had some last week, I think over last weekend, not this past one, but last weekend, We found out there was some crawling around in our attic, called the guy over, and apparently we had a couple of rats come into our attic. Mm. Well, my wife freaked the bleep out. The guy said, don't worry, the rats aren't going to come into your house. Just a couple of areas that I saw. We're going to put cameras up. We're going to take care of the rats. We're going to seal everything back up. You're going to be good to go by next week. I think he's supposed to come tomorrow, in fact, to finish all the cameras are already up and the traps and all that. But anyway, so she freaked out. She says, I'm going to stay at a hotel. I said, no, you're not going to. You heard the man. They're not going to come in. You know, she was freaking out about rats in our attic.
As she should.
As she probably should have. So I went to Amazon and bought a rubber rat.
Oh, you did all of this. Right. Right. Now, I thought it was going to be a spur of the moment thing.
No, this is premeditated. Yes, and while you're premeditating it, who advised against this?
You did.
There we go.
Sean Pendergast did. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone, man. I told.
Correct.
Advised against it. And keep in mind, I don't normally do this, but I thought it'd be funny because she was so over the top.
Look at you. So,
at this slime ball.
Thank you. Thank you, Cal. So, Saturday morning, we're sitting on the porch drinking coffee, chatting, and I kind of sneak into the bathroom and set a rat in the bathroom because eventually she's going to take a shower.
Oh, man.
So this was the long game here, man.
Wait, so you were thinking we're going to get her while she's taking a shower while her feet are wet?
Yeah.
While she's in the slippery?
Yeah.
So did you think about all that potential?
Yeah.
And you still did it?
All right. So it took about 45 minutes, but ultimately she went into the bathroom.
What happened?
She was at least 45 minutes before she stopped shaking.
Wow. What about John? What happened?
Yeah, right. He's trying to play dumb like she don't already know.
And I recorded it, by the way. I forgot to tell you I was going to record it, and I did. A lot of things to unwrap here on that. Number one, it was really funny, but she was shook for about 45 minutes.
Okay.
And now she took the rat. So every time I open a drawer, I open a cabinet, I get a pan out of the pantry or something.
He going to be there.
I am like kind of wondering about the rat. So I don't know if it was the smartest decision, but. I did laugh.
You better hope your belongings ain't on the curb when you get home.
Exactly. And you know what? This also already had ramifications. John is supposed to be out there with the people on Sunday because, you know, we doing the HEB tailgate of the game. We supposed to be out there with the tailgate, seeing what's up to the folks.
And I texted
him. He had told me on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out there with you. We gonna see the people.
Yeah.
I get a text Sunday morning. I'm taking Jan to breakfast. I'm not going to be up there. I'm like, oh, he done messed up.
I done messed up.
So, yeah, you messed this up and you deserved it. You deserved it. Watch this. These are my confessions. Thankfully, Lopez had that confession right before mine, so maybe I'll sign just a little bit like a jerk. Mm-hmm. But after the game where the Texans went 23-20 over the Colts and further solidify themselves atop the AFC South, I was listening to the postgame show.
Yeah.
Sean Pendergast and Clint Sterner. Doing the Lord's work, breaking down the game, talking to folks, and they had Will Anderson Jr. on mm-hmm. the postgame show as their interview.
Had cowboy hats, didn't he?
He had a cowboy hat. They got a picture with him holding the WWE title belt thing. So before in setting up that Will Anderson Jr. was on, Sean Pendergast said this, and I repeat, the reigning defending defensive rookie of the year. And I got to confess. It gnaws me up whenever people talk about titles and say that they are defending, like you're defending champion or whatever.
You can't win it.
You're not defending it. Nobody can take that off you, right? Like that's like a boxing thing, right? Where you have the title, mm-hmm. you're defending it, because if you don't, then somebody else takes the title from you.
Nobody's taking away from the Kansas City Chiefs.
This makes me so happy.
Nobody's taking the 2023
y'all are perfect together,
champion.
Man.
Nobody's taking that from the Chiefs, right? Like, they're not the defending.
I can't stop smiling.
They're the reigning champions. They're still the champions until somebody else wins the championship.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, who would think of something like this? Oh, John Lopez. Yeah.
Okay. And so that's real. That's pretty pedantic. I understand that. But here's the thing. And love you, Pendergast.
Yes.
But even, like, it's not a transferring title. But even if it was, you can't defend Rookie of the Year.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, man. Y'all are the same person.
Right? Right.
Hey, don't ask Lopez about the first annual.
That's funny.
First annual.
Ain't no such thing.
Yeah, but remember, with all of that said, with all the pedantics that I have talked about, Lopez knew his wife didn't like rats and gave her and put a rat out there to trick her. So I'm still not.
Everybody's gonna point to me. I'll be the bad guy for the day.
That's right.
But boy, it was funny.
I don't know.
Until it wasn't.
Man, I thought I was going to be the bad guy for not wanting to eat my wife's cooking.
No, that was
nah, buddy, you got this.
Man, he's taking all the bullets for us. Yes. We appreciate you.
That being said, I am kind of welling up with pride over what Reggie just said.
So. It gnaws at me. You could be the reigning champion. You're not really defending. It's not really a title fence. Yeah. It's not how that happens.
Yeah.
All right. That's our Lunchtime Confessions, where we all confess to various levels of scumbaggery. Obviously won by John Lopez.
Man, he's getting destroyed.
He's a winner in that regard.
I'm getting destroyed.
Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Victory Reaction Monday. There's a laugh. Listen to the joy. Listen to the joy in his wife's...
John!
out there giggling like Ernie. Look at that.
Oh, and I laughed and I laughed.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? What? Yeah. Huh? Like, you know what you did.
You know exactly what you did. You're not slick.
What happened?
Yeah. Coming up next, let's go around the AFC South, see what else is happening around this woeful division that the Texans are running away with. We'll talk about that and more next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. The 5-Hour Energy Fan text line is 713-572-4610, but our friend Tyler Milliner, he gets to hit us directly on our phones. And his text said, sounds like Lopez is about to find some food poisoning.
Pretty much.
So, yeah.
Pretty much.
You about to be out probably Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday due to food poisoning.
Yep. Yep. Oh,
you might be in the hospital.
Oh, it's going to get ugly, I know.
And yeah,
sometimes you just got to make sure people are still alive.
Do you?
You do.
Do you,
kinda,
though?
You need a reminder
in this particular way
that you are alive.
By the way,
you're going to find some rat poison in your food.
Right. You might find some rat, honestly. We're going to be completely honest. You might just find some rat in your food.
Yeah, eat this. Yeah, what is it? Tastes like chicken.
I'm not going to say what I just thought out loud. Let's go around the AFC South here in Luke and talk about some of the other teams that were involved on this Sunday. It's a pick your poison, not good choice of words there, I guess. choose your own adventure, as always. Where in the AFC South would you like to go, Fonz?
Oh, we got to start with the one that was right here, man.
Indianapolis Colts.
God, Anthony Richardson is bad. The Texans deserve a lot of credit because they made a lot of quarterbacks look bad. But he looked... I mean, I told you, and I still believe this. I think it could have been an entirely different game if they had switched quarterbacks at halftime.
I don't disagree. Like, do the Colts win this game if Joe Flacco plays?
I was praying they didn't.
Yes.
I was just like, please don't be so bad where you got to switch.
You and Sean Pendergast, I believe, also was in that same place. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Lopez said that he was, and he made that clear when we were sitting next to each other in the press box. No, I mean, there were some pretty easy passes that if you make, that they had an opportunity to really make it tough on the Texans, particularly with how the Texans kind of spun their wheels in the course of this game.
Yeah.
at some points, you could maybe look at this game and say maybe the Texans didn't win it and that the Colts lost it. And that is the frustration that exists sure. with the Texans for me.
Sure.
They won a close game. Don't get me wrong. But the Colts, in large part because early on in this game, they were throwing the damn football with Anthony Richardson when mm-hmm. probably the thing that they do the best is running the football with Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson as well. Jonathan Taylor, yet another instance of him showing himself to be a very good running back. 105 yards. On 20 carries, and he had that big, long 28-yard rush as well with the touchdown. But, yeah, another kind of uneven game. Apparently, Shane Steichen really he really waited to run the football. But rather than going into the half tied, then starting the mm-hmm. third quarter with the ball, because remember, Texans decided to take the football to establish, I don't know, a flow in the game or maybe make a statement. They started throwing the football with Anthony Richardson. He almost throws an interception. They line it back up. He throws the football again, and that's when Jalen Petrie mm-hmm. gets an interception. Because remember, on the other side, Kamari Lassiter almost got a pick almost the play before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that allows the Texans to score and have a 17-0 lead at the half. Score then, and then they come back, and then they score after three and out. They score after half to then have a 17-0 score.
Yeah, and the other part of this with the Colts is that's the only even squint your eyes kind of threat to the Texans.
Correct.
Because, and now you beat them twice, so you've got that tiebreaker, and you got a two-game lead. I mean, there's no shot anybody can catch the Texans. Well, I mean, I get it. Total collapse. All that. I'm talking about, like, realistically, no shot. Sure.
Which, God bless him. Thanks to Shane Steichen, and also thanks to Anthony Richardson. Obviously for the poor passing, but then also mm-hmm. Maybe for a possible lack of mental toughness. During the course of this game, late in this game, there's a third down, and Anthony Richardson. You imagine his ability to run the football would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, still, you look down, and oh no, that is Joe Flacco on the field. Anthony Richardson. Why did that happen?
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there, what I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
I totally get it, but it's just an awful, awful thing to do in that moment. That's a crucial moment in the game for them, trying to get out from their side of the field and really trying to to get back into it. Could have taken a lead and all that, and you're tapping out like. Certain times players just get gassed and they need to tap out. Like running backs a lot of times do that. Wide receivers a lot of times do that.
Defensive line is going to rotate quite a bit. You mentioned wide receivers are one of those places that will rotate.
Quarterbacks don't do that. I mean, just hunch over, catch
unless you're
your
looking
breath.
For a particular skill set.
Well, that, yeah.
And maybe you would have said that if Flacco threw the ball in that instance, I could go, mm-hmm. maybe I could see it, but he goes and hands it off, right?
Yeah.
Even in that instance where it's just a simple handoff, Anthony Richardson makes that handoff more dangerous because he can pull it.
Right. It affects the defense. And, a lot of commentary, on social media, of course, about this. And the one that really resonates with me is, like, you're the franchise quarterback, ostensibly, and you're begging out of a game in that moment. Just the messaging that it sends to everybody, just awful.
Have a quarterback ever did that?
I don't know.
Not that I could think of. Yeah. And honestly, owning up to it is another level. I think you're right, Figgy. Like, we clamor for honesty. These are the types of things that make them be less honest, because we're going to react in this way, hearing that you willingly took yourself off the field when there was not an injury concern or anything like that.
No, I'm just curious because, like, I was wondering how normal of a thing that is. I know we'd never get that
at the quarterback position. It's rare.
Yeah, because you see wide receivers and all that stuff go out because of that. But I wonder how honest, like, I wonder how many times that actually happened when a quarterback is really tired.
I can't think of another right now. I'm sure there's been, but I can't
think
of another.
Or do they just cover it up?
That's what I'm saying.
And it feels like it's a place where you could cover it up, especially if you're just going to hand the football off on that play, right? That is a quick 5 seconds of play, and then you have another 40 seconds until you run the next
one. Because I'm sure he ain't the first quarterback that been tired.
Heck no.
So, I wonder how often do that actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was running like a running back on that drive, so I don't know. To give him a little bit of grace. What is not any level of grace is their 4-4 record now, the Colts. Two games behind the Texans. In fact, it's kind of, in effect, three, because they have lost the tiebreaker with your Texans now. And it's not going to get any easier for them, as next week, Sunday Night Football, somehow, some way, they will face off against the Minnesota Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. So best of luck.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, y'all got that.
Yeah.
All right. Elsewhere around the AFC South, we have between the Jaguars and the Titans. Where would you like to go?
Let's go with the Jaguars here. Had a chance, and obviously Jordan Love hurt. Out of the game.
Yeah.
Even ineffective when he was tried to stay in the game because of a groin injury and still couldn't get it done.
Yeah, Jordan Love leaves this game in the third quarter. It is a 27-27 game, and with 2 seconds left, your old friend, Brandon McManus, in fact, their old friend, he was previously a Jaguar before he was released after having some allegations of being, misdeeds on the team plane when it came to some of their flight attendants. Those have been cleared up. He signs with the Packers. He's kicking for him, and he kicks the game winner to have the Green Bay Packers win 30-27 over the Jaguars. They are now 2-6, and that six number is also pertinent in a different way. Six starter injuries for the Jaguars in this game. Mm-hmm. Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Kirk all get injured from wide receivers. The two guards, Brandon Scherff and Ezra Cleveland, get hurt, and a cornerback, Ronald Darby, gets hurt. And the big one of those six, Christian Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Collarbone?
Collarbone injury. He's expected to miss the rest of the season per Adam Schefter. And that's tough because they had already started talking about him being a potential trade chip.
No.
All right? That's a dude that they signed a couple seasons ago. But, I mean, look, that could have been an opportunity to get some draft capital back or something. Not going to be able to do that now that he's lost for the season.
So I mean, you're looking at these teams.
That gets worse for them.
Yeah, you're looking at these teams, and you're we haven't gotten to the Titans yet, and you're wondering, do they have a future? Like, an immediate future. I know everybody, can draft and build and all that. Like, what's the Colts' future? What's the Jacksonville Jaguars' future? I mean, realistically.
I mean, the future, you've signed up for Trevor Lawrence.
That's
so
what
you
I
imagine
mean.
That at some point. Once you sign him, once you sign up that guy on the second deal, you imagine that he starts taking on more of the load. But even without more of the load, he has not been particularly great. Mm-hmm. That's tough for them. And I guess you keep looking at Trent Baalke like, oh, this is it, huh?
Yeah.
More power to you. They face off next weekend in the midday slate against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. So that's at 3:05. Yeah. It's not easy for the AFC South. It is not easy for the AFC South. All right, and then finally the Tennessee Titans. They're 1-6 after losing. Actually, losing is not enough. They got smacked by the Detroit Lions in Detroit, 52-14. 38 unanswered points after Tennessee scored with 14:22 left in the second quarter. That was the last time they got on the board.
Yeah.
With damn near the entirety of the second quarter ahead of them. They turned in for the night, and that allowed the Detroit Lions to go crazy. This was a fun stat that I was kind of relaying to the guys in the press box during the course of this game. The Lions had more return yards than total net offensive yards. 262 total return yards between punt returns and kick returns, compared to 225 yards from scrimmage. The Titans had 415 total yards themselves, but still were not able to do anything offensively. If you're looking for some level of good for the Titans, Tony Pollard rushed for 94 yards on 20 carries, but Mason Rudolph threw two interceptions, so much for that steady hand away from Will Levis. And Calvin Ridley and Okonkwo, the tight end, fumbled in this game. So four turnovers for them. The Titans in a terrible place themselves after getting smoked by the Lions. They'll face off next against the New England Patriots.
All right, well, that's a little more manageable, but 52-14. And I looked at this game at the point spread, and it was Lions by 11.5. And I actually told a buddy of mine, I was like, that's an awful big number. Who wants to bet on a team that's favored by 11.5 points? Well, they could have quadrupled that. And
that's right. That's right.
Still covered.
And you know what's the fun part about this? I think the Lions are becoming the team that dances on people's graves.
Big time.
They did this to the Cowboys. Now, of course, a lot more sinisterly so. I think that there was more intent there. Yeah. I do wonder, is this just going to be who the Lions are? Because they're like, clearly they have the capability of being really good, but then also running up the score. Is that who Dan Campbell is?
I don't know if it's running up the score or just like they.
I say that with no judgment, mind you.
Yeah, no, I get it, but they just pour it on people and they're really that good. They really are. Their last five games, I mean, they 42 points, 47, 31, 52, last four games. Good gracious.
That's a lot of points. While I laugh at the Titans' misfortune, they will be coming to town. Mm-hmm. That's your next home game. Once you fly out to New Jersey on Thursday, Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, you'll on Sunday Night Football be welcoming in those same Lions. And this is why, this is exactly why I am so tortured by the Texans offense not being not being themselves, or at least what we believe them to be capable of, because a team like the Lions will come in and not only will they beat you, they'll dance on your grave.
They're trying to embarrass folks.
Exactly. Half a hundred.
Exactly.
I
mean,
like I said, 40-something, 50-something.
Yeah, you're going to see an offensive lineman in the slot
and they mess around with them. Run the ball. Boy, they can run the ball.
Yeah, so it's going to be very important for this Texans team. Now, they'll have the kind of the mini bye week as well.
Yeah, the long weekend.
That'll help. But before they get there, they got to take on the Jets this Thursday. Mm-hmm. In fact, funny enough, I will be out watching this Jets game on Halloween in spring. Buffalo Wild Wings in spring is where the watch party will be, if you want to hang out with myself, Reginald Atitula, and watch this particular game against the Jets. All right, but you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you know what we got to do. It's a Victory Monday, and as if we haven't nitpicked enough, let's nitpick a little bit more on this Texans 23-20 victory. We'll do that next.